Now, what do you think Mrs. Crane would like for dinner?
Oh, you have free rein. Just bear in mind she can't have shellfish, poultry, red meat, saturated fats, nitrates, wheat, starch, sulfites, MSG, or dairy.
And there's probably someone in your family who eats like that, where they're so picky and it drives you crazy, whether they're a vegetarian or a vegan, or whether they're just cutting back on fats, which is rational to do. But sometimes it can just drive you crazy to go out to eat with them. For example, I've mentioned this before, but when I go out to eat with my husband, I drive him crazy. Now, not really, he's loving. But I say I go to an Italian restaurant, and guess what I can't eat? I won't eat garlic or red and green peppers or onions or scallions or green onions. So it gets a little crazy, but he came up with a solution for me that's darling. He printed out little note cards, so I just give them to the waiter when he comes to take my order, and the waiter kind of raises his eyebrow, and I just say, yeah, and no taste too, and they smile and they make up something. They tell me what I'm capable of eating on the menu, which is anything non-Italian. So I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. The show's The Rational Basis of Happiness, and right now we're going to turn to the phones and welcome Trina. Trina, you're having difficulty with your siblings?
Yeah,
tell me what's going on.
I have a 6-year-old who has medical issues. He has Tourette's syndrome. He tends to be very moody, and I also have a 12-year-old. They constantly fight. The 12-year-old doesn't show any love towards his brother. He's constantly hateful to him. I just want to get on the same page with them and get them together to love each other. I mean, they fight constantly. They hate each other.
Okay. And you said the 6-year-old has Tourette's.
Yes.
Both boys?
Yes.
Both boys.
Yes, correct.
And what have... Are you getting any help for yourself? Any therapy?
No.
Oh, it's rough. What's your son doing, your 6-year-old doing with the Tourette's? What symptoms?
He ticks. He has...
Barking at all? Or?
No, it's just pretty much facial ticks, a little bit of a grunting noise, but that's about it. He's had Tourette's since he was 2, and we haven't seen a great increase in them.
Yeah.
But he does have, like, a mood disorder. He tends to be moody. My 12-year-old resents him because he says that we let him get away with more, and I try to explain to him it's because his brother's only 6, and there's different rules for the two of them because of their age difference.
Mm-hmm.
We can't take them to the movies or anything because they want to see different movies. It's just terrible. Anything we want to do, one of them doesn't want to do it because of the age difference.
So your 12-year-old, if he could have you in private and if you could totally listen to him, what do you think your 12-year-old, if he was able to bare his soul without fear of you saying yes, but you got to be nice to your brother,
right.
What do you think he would hear from the depths of his soul?
I think he would want more attention from me. I think he would want more attention from me, as well as a little bit of more understanding from him. I'm a little bit harder on him because of his brother's problems, and I try to explain that to him, but I don't know how to correct it.
What else would he want? Like, if you could put yourself in his shoes, and I know this is almost impossible because you want him to put himself in your shoes. You want
right.
both kids
right.
to get along. You want them. You want just a nice family life.
Right.
And you're not able to achieve that because of the tension and because of the complication of Tourette's. Tourette's is so hard on everybody, and
yes.
especially the guy who's got Tourette's.
Absolutely.
Your 6-year-old. So what I'm suggesting you do is really privately, maybe your husband, are you married?
I have a fiance, yes.
A fiance.
Uh-huh.
Is this his child?
No.
Okay, so he's taking on a lot, huh?
Right.
If you could put yourself in your son, your old 12-year-old son's shoes,
uh-huh.
and really drop your own context, which is so hard, and
yeah.
try to feel like how it would feel like for you if you had the 6-year-old as your brother.
Right.
Because you rule the roost for 6 of those years, right?
You're Absolutely. 12,
and you were, whatever relationship, you were an only child.
Yeah.
So not only do you have the what's called dethroning, you've been taken off your throne because there's another kid that you have to share mom and dad's attention with, or in this case, your fiance's attention with, and dad's too, I'm assuming. But now you've got a new kid in the family that's grunting and has facial tics and probably embarrasses you terribly in public.
Yeah.
When you go places, you've got this kid doing things that other you don't want to bring your friends home, right?
Right.
Does that happen at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's extremely embarrassed when we go out to eat and things. Not so much from the tics because they're not as noticeable, but just his attitude because he's a different child. He has an attitude and he's loud, and my older son is definitely embarrassed by him. And instead of saying, you know, stop, you're embarrassing me, he screams at him and just says hateful things to him because he is embarrassed.
And which totally complicates the picture.
Yeah.
So he needs to know, if I were the mom and you were the 12-year-old, and I said to you, hon, let's just go out together. And I would take him to his favorite restaurant. Hopefully it's not a noisy one. His favorite quiet restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And I would say, tell me what it's been like for you. And if he told me just what you just said, I would say, you know, it sounds like it's been so hard on you, and I don't think I've fully grasped the pain that you've been going through. And you are embarrassed, and I'm embarrassed too. And this is what we have to deal with. Do you have any idea of how we could make it easier? I would try to engage his cooperation. Not that I'm going to agree with some of the solutions, like get rid of the brother. But I would try to let him express his anger, his frustration, his hurt, his fear. If you don't think you could do it on your own, you could do it with a therapy. You and your son could go to therapy. And then you could come up with methods for him to deal with the frustration. Like maybe he wouldn't have to go to all the family meals.
Okay.
This family harmony is not harmony when you do, and it may be unrealistic. Maybe he will end up not having friends over to the house all the time because it is embarrassing.
Sure.
So it's respecting where he's coming from. The other thing I would do for your 6-year-old, it's really hard on him, and especially to have a rejecting 12-year-brother.
Uh-huh.
So I would recommend tic coaching. I don't know if you're aware that that's possible.
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, you do. Where the kids learn how to mute the facial tics or grimacing or grunting, and they know how to act more properly. They can actually train their own minds to get their tics out before they go into a family event or something.
Sure.
And they can actually be quite functional later on in life, too. But I would definitely get professional help for yourself, and I recommend a cognitive therapist because some therapists who deal with Tourette's just look at it as you have to grin and bear it. There's not much you can do. But a cognitive therapist who deals with thinking will teach your son thinking, will teach the 6-year-old thinking skills, and your 12-year-old could benefit too, of how to deal with the Tourette's. You know, you want a specialist in Tourette's, a cognitive therapist who specializes in that area. But you could go to the website Academy. You can go to my website, drkenner.com, and I have a link, or you could go directly here, to the Academy of CT, cognitivetherapy.org, and they list therapists in the area, or you could contact them directly and ask them what they would suggest.
Okay.
But definitely get personal therapy for yourself, because what I've seen with the parents, there's so much stress on you, and you tend to be so focused on taking care of the kids, that you don't take care of yourself. Please give that to yourself.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. My number's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and co-author Dr. Edwin Locke.
What if your partner or spouse is constantly pursuing important values with your encouragement, But none of the choices includes you. For example, you're a chronic golf widow or a girls' night out widower, or you're ignored in favor of your partner's career. If this happens, you need to ask your partner, how important am I to you? Am I a top value or way down on your list? If it turns out that you're not a top value, then is this the right partner for you? The ultimate proof of how important you are to your partner is how your partner acts toward you on a daily basis, not just what words are expressed. With a loving partner, there will be many loving words as well as consistency between word and deed.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.